Okay, as I told you yesterday, we're going to split up. We're going to see how this works today. And we'll go out for about 20 minutes. Stay as any group. You have all your, have your number. You know what group you're in. Group one is to start on page 4. I know that that's still in the first chapter, but we didn't touch it. And then if you get done with page 4, go on to page 5 and 6. Okay? Group 2 the same way. Group 6, we got Fred in group 6 there. So anyway, let's open our Bible and read that section first before we get going on it. We're just going to read from verses 12 through 14. No, wait, I beg your pardon. We're going to read through verse 2 and 2:13. Oh, specific questions. What were your frustrations?
Not enough time.
Okay. Okay. What else?
I think that's about it.
Huh?
That's about it.
No. Somebody already came back and asked a question.
That wasn't me.
I know who asked it. What other frustrations did you have?
Sometimes the questions weren't super clear.
Okay. Okay, anything else?
Well, right here. Sometimes, you know a verse, but you don't know where it's found.
Okay.
And that's frustrating sometimes.
Okay. Anything else? I'll tell you what. If you ever get a job, you're going to find out that these are very, very typical things that you're going to face. You don't have enough time to do really what you'd like. Whether it's what mom asked you to do or whether you're hired out for a job, you're going to find out that there isn't enough time to do everything that I think should be done. Okay, now, what happened? How did you compensate for this?
Prioritize,
okay. What else? Oh, come on now. You're just bashful. I'll tell you what you did. You waited until DJ came out there and told you it was time to come in. So you were forced.
We had 3 pages to do.
I know. You were forced. You were forced to do some of your work, which you knew had to be done, but you wanted to be good guys and do all of it. And there just wasn't time until you got pressured in, right? Pressured? I know, pushered, okay. right? I mean, this is actually normal life. You're going to face it, and you're going to be frustrated. And sometimes people will get to the point they quit a job because the pressures are so great. Okay, questions. My instructions was not clear enough, you said. Okay? What?
Most of the time it was.
Oh, okay. But the point was that you had questions, right? You just didn't understand, okay? And somebody found out that, wait a minute, information was available, but you didn't know where to find it, okay? I mean, this is part of life, okay? Another one, information. You knew that information was available, but you just didn't know where to get it. If you'd have had more time, you could have found it, okay? I want you to think about these things for the next 5 years. I'm sorry, 40 years. But this is what life is about. You're going to face this all the time, this frustration. I just don't have enough time to do it right, okay? Can you actually, okay, we'll see how well you did it, okay? And again, I'm not trying, I know people tell me, that I try to intimidate them. That is the farthest idea from my mind. I'm so excited to see if I can help you to prepare for tomorrow. Okay? And questions. You're going to always... Now, somebody came back and asked for information. Okay? Were there some of you that said, boy, I wish there was somebody I could ask to get this clarified? Okay? Don't be afraid to ask, but be careful if you ask a boss and he tells you and then you forget what he told you. Then you're in trouble. Okay? But don't be afraid to ask for clarification. Okay? And again, I rushed you out of there intentionally. Okay? There's information available. Where can you get it? Now, being able to use the internet, you can find information a lot better today than you could 100 years ago. But still, there you are, and there was no internet available, okay? So you were stuck. Either you just sat there and said, well, I guess I can't do anything, or some of you maybe have guessed or tried something else. But this is not too unusual about the way life is. Okay, let's go on. Who's group one? Who's going to speak for group one? Okay, now, that was one thing you had to do. How did you decide who was going to be your spokesman? Or is it just a spur moment thing that you never even thought of that you'd have to do? Okay, now again, good, okay. So these are things. You get in a group. Somebody has got to speak for that group, okay? So you want to, okay, let's go. We're on page 4, okay? Go ahead. Speak real loud. We'd like to try to pick it up on the mic. I don't know if we can. Have you got that turned back on? Or?
Yeah.
Okay.
Pass that back. Just hold it in front of him, that's all.
Okay, let's see. First one we had was, what had Paul
entrusted
to Jesus? We said himself. And the other one was, what have you entrusted to Jesus? How did you do it? Believing him. And the next one was, how will you be sure that you retain the standard of sound words or have a pattern of sound teaching when you are challenged about what you believe? Believing in the word. What we said, and then foundation Christian doctrine, we must not give up. Precisely, who is Jesus of Nazareth? We did.
Say it again.
The answer.
John 129.
What
does that say? Okay. you're the spokesman, but your whole team is accountable. So be sure you're helping him.
John what?
129.
John seeth Jesus coming unto him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.
Okay. You don't have to read the question anymore. Just say the number and the answer.
Okay. Exodus 20, verse 4.
What is the number of the question you're answering?
Two.
Okay. What is the answer?
Exodus 20. Verse 4.
But I don't know what
that says. Which is, you'll have no other gods before me, the Ten Commandments.
Okay.
And then 3, John 3, 14 through 17.
And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved.
So if you gave that answer to somebody, what would they say?
I guess it would depend on the person.
Yeah, all right. Imagine somebody. Anybody. That doesn't have to be that group. Why do you believe that? How would you answer that one?
The Bible says it?
Okay, it's not my idea. It's what the Bible says. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Okay, great. Keep going.
All right, 4, Acts 16, 31.
Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved.
Okay.
And then 6 is...
5.
Oh, no, 5 is 2 Timothy 3:16, and that is, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for reproof, for instructions in righteousness.
Okay, very good. Okay.
Righteousness. And then 6 is Acts 2 and 1 Corinthians 12:7.
What's the answer?
1 Corinthians 2:7
is,
but
we...
12.
Oh, sorry. We
got it
here.
12.
7, Joey.
Go ahead.
Okay, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with willful.
Now, the first word in the question is when.
Yeah.
You answered the what, but you. I want to know when. When?
That's part of Acts 2.
Yeah.
In the Holy Spirit during the Pentecost. During the Pentecost.
When did the Holy Spirit come to live in you?
When you accept Jesus as your Savior.
Verse. Okay, we'll come back to that one. Okay, keep going.
Okay, and then 7. Resurrection, and that's 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4.
And that says...
For I delivered unto you, first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scripture.
Great. Okay?
And that's it. That's it.
That's as far as you got?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go on to group 2. Who's speaking for group 2?
Me, I guess.
Okay?
Okay. One was, what books about Christian martyrs have you read? I've only read the book of Acts.
No, I'm talking about Acts.
I don't have... No, so okay, none, basically.
Okay. Nobody in your group has read anything about...
There's
Christian
only two
martyrs
of us.
Did you? Okay. Okay, keep going. Keep going.
And there's a group of people that I know that are going to Peru.
Okay.
And so there are dangers there sometimes. Like, there's possibilities of diseases and malaria and that kind of thing. There's not good drinking water. The food's kind of nasty, but, you know, no biggie.
And so you're praying for them?
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah.
Okay.
The main person who's been discipling me has been my mom and dad, basically. There hasn't really been anybody... I have been discipling, but basically just I have friends who talk to me sometimes, and that's about it.
You start the conversation?
Sometimes, yeah.
Okay.
And then in 2 Timothy 2, the verse 1, the Son was grace. Verse 3 was faithful. Verse 5 was obedient. Verse 6 was hardworking. Verse 15 was diligent. Verse 21 was honorable, sanctified, and useful. And verse 24 is gentle and patient and able to teach.
Okay.
And then the last one, how does a person become and act strong in the Lord? I wrote down prayer, Bible study, discipling, diligence, obedience, trusting the Lord at all times, and stepping out in faith in different circumstances.
Okay, now you said I wrote down. Was that a collective
collection? Well, that's kind of what I wrote down. She wrote down
okay,
something different.
Very good. Okay. Group 3. Who's the spokesman for group 3?
Well, I'll speak for group 3. Yeah. All right. For number 1, we got his life. Paul entrusted Jesus his life. And for, I guess, the same question, what have you entrusted to Jesus?
No, are you on group? You're supposed to be on page 6.
Six.
Group 3?
We did the wrong page. Oopsie doopsie.
That's what that was.
Well, we lost. There's what we got. Nothing.
Okay.
Okay. Keep in mind, this is a group of three boys without a single girl. Middle-aged boys, I'll add. And number two, how will you be sure that you have been challenging what you believe because of our faith and love according to Jesus Christ? Question one again, because it says it. Precisely, who is Jesus of Nazareth? We got Mark 23:38. Where they are crucifying Jesus, and above him they put a sign that says, "This is Jesus, King of the Jews."
Wait a second. Anybody challenge him?
That was an accusation.
There's another challenge.
He's still a king. There's another.
There's another challenge. What book are you in?
Mark 23.
Okay, would somebody please turn to Mark 23.
He's middle-aged boy.
Mark 23, what is this?
Matthew 23?
Maybe that was it.
Did you write it? It was Matt.
I was using my phone. It's the phone's fault. Okay, number two. How many real living gods are there? One. From, what does that say? Jamie, that reference. Okay. The one for the real living God.
Oh.
From Jamie.
Why? What was it?
I can't find this. Okay. So it's still like I can't find that one. I just got
Exodus 20 verse 4.
Yeah, that one.
Okay. Yeah. That's what we got.
Well, now that says, we had that last one too, but that says that we're only to have one God before us. That doesn't really say there's only one God.
Oh, I know the one we got. We got the one that says there's only one God and one mediator between man, the man Christ Jesus. Yes!
Where is that found?
I can't read it. What does that say? First Timothy something.
It's just something.
It's not in one.
It's First Timothy two something, right?
Two five or something like
yeah,
that.
Yeah,
something like that.
Okay, let's keep going.
All right. Three. Precisely how did God pay for my sin? He died. John 3:16 tells us.
Okay. Is that correct?
Yes.
Did God die? Show me a verse that says God died.
Oh, Jesus died. Sorry. Correction.
Notice what's the first word in that question. Bring on your paper.
Precisely.
Oh.
Okay, next one.
Sorry, I don't have autocorrect. It's not my phone. Precisely, how is a person saved?
Well, you read that one. Next one. Six.
Okay.
Five.
Just go.
Precisely, what is the Bible? Romans 16:36. Let me just go there fast.
You gave me this one, so it's your fucking phone appetite.
Go ahead, you can read it.
What's the reference?
Wait. 16. There's no 9:32 verses in it. Put down Romans 16:36, but there's only 27.
Okay, go on to the next one.
Okay. When does the Holy Spirit come to... Wait, we're skipping this one. Okay. Number seven is blank. And number eight is, what sins might I commit that will cause me to lose my salvation? Nothing/Romans 8:39?
Okay. Very
what,
good.
Romans 8:39?
Yeah.
Very
okay.
good. Okay.
I think he just said we can just be done now.
Prime
yeah, but I'm going to read this. If it doesn't have 39 verses, I'm going to be mad. Okay. Okay. Nor height, nor death, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, Jesus
Very
our
good.
Lord.
Okay, group two.
Yeah!
Yes!
Group four. Who's group four?
Group three.
Who's group four? Who's the speaker for group four? Okay, you're going to have to bring
All right. We have to list, how can one give up or start habits that cause your life to glorify God more? Then using Hebrews 12:1-2 and 2 Timothy 2:3-4, we have looking unto Jesus, enduring hardship, not being distracted, and then lay aside hindrances and sin.
Okay.
Then for the next question on verse 5, it says to list some rules of baseball, football, checkers, and other games or driving a car. We listed a few rules, and the purpose for the rules that we put was to avoid pain and frustration.
Okay, any other reasons?
Not that we had.
Can somebody think of another reason for rules?
Keep it fair.
Okay.
Protection.
What do you mean by protection?
Well, protection for us. A lot of times the rules are made to protect an individual.
You mean to tell me that driving on the right side of the road is going to protect you?
Yeah.
Well, that's avoiding. That's part of avoiding pain. That would be very painful to drive on the left side of the road.
Okay, go ahead. 2-6.
Now that we have the hat of a farmer, which we didn't understand what that meant, and assuming that that was with what the other one back farther, but...
Well, did you read what the verses said in the...
Yeah.
Okay.
We put, like, that the Christian, you're sowing and reaping as part of what would be part of, like, farming.
Is that what it says in the scripture?
Well, verse 6 here says that we partake of the fruits.
What does that mean?
Partakers of the fruits?
The parallel here would be that after you've sowed and reaped, this is past tense of, you would, as a farmer, you would partake of the fruits, meaning that you get to take of your harvest. As believers in Christ, we partake of the fruits of our labor here on earth when we get to heaven and have our eternal reward.
Okay, how about in translating that in view of Galatians 6? Whatsoever a man
doeth, that shall he also
reap. So that shall he reap. So with that shall he reap.
How would that help?
Well, you could sow good things or bad things, and then you'll either reap good things or bad things.
Okay, very good. Okay, how about 2-7?
We have that to meditate or to consider is to think about it.
Okay. Anything else?
Nope.
Okay. Group 5.
Is this good right here?
Yeah.
Okay. Our first thing was chapter 2, verse 8 through 10. It says, remember Jesus Christ. Throughout history, there have been numerous battle slogans so that we don't forget why we're in battle. The oldest one I remember is remember Pearl Harbor. State another one that you remember. And one that I thought of right off the top of my head was like, remember the Alamo in Texas, whenever Texas was trying to fight off the Mexicans, when they took the Alamo, they one battle cry.
Okay.
And it says, one thing Paul reminds us of here is that Jesus was a true human being. He descended from David. See Romans 1, 3 and Hebrews 12, 2. But Jesus' body is not in a cemetery. He is, and it had a fill in the blank, and it was risen. It's one thing we figured out. And then, it says, what was the apostle suffering and why? And it says in there that he is bound, or we figured probably he was in jail, and he was suffering for the gospel, because he says right here, says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble. So he's suffering trouble for the gospel that he's preaching.
What's the significance of Jesus being of the family of David?
That he is a true human being, because David was a human.
Okay. Anything else?
Okay, it says, why was Paul willing to endure or go through suffering patiently what he was enduring? And it says, he was willing to endure for the salvation of the elect, because he said so right here in verse 10. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory.
Okay.
And then the last one is, many Bible commentators believe Paul is quoting a poem or a song here. What is the purpose of the Bible to teach us that there should be in what we sing? Colossians 3:16 and Ephesians 5:19 say we need to sing to make melody in our hearts to God and to give thanks to Him. And
anything else?
Besides what you've written down here, no. It says, songs are powerful teachers. Songs come and go in advertising. The Council of Nicaea was called by the Roman Emperor Constantine in 325 because Arius, a priest in North Africa, was teaching that Jesus was not God the Son. This song was becoming so influential that Constantine called about 240 bishops together to find out what Christianity really taught. All but two stated that Jesus was, in fact, God the Son based on the books which now constitute the New Testament.
Okay.
And that was all we got.
Okay. Now, on this matter of singing, there's something else in Ephesians there. Anyway, I'm not asking just you. Why is it so important about what we sing?
Worship and reverence.
Those are not complete thoughts.
We sing as an act of worship to our God. Also, through song, it is a method of passing down information through the ages to remember things.
So you're saying that the information in a song is very valuable?
Yes.
So then,
not necessarily, but it can be.
It is?
It can be. Not all songs necessarily have good information.
Oh, that's a different. That's a different statement. That's very, very good that you separated those two. But the purpose, the scripture is telling us that what we sing is important because it is passing on information. Is the information good or not? That's why it's so important. What you're listening to, whether it's a CD or on the radio or what, are you turned off when you hear stuff that's contrary to scripture? Or you say, oh, but the melody is so good, I just love it. I mean, this is a, let's open our Bibles to those two verses. Somebody read Colossians 3:16 and the other one, Ephesians 5. Then we have one page was skipped, and I know that more than one person had that, or one group had that, so maybe there's another group that has some answers for that. Have you got the one in Colossians?
I have.
Be sure that you read a complete sentence. The reason I say that is sometimes a verse is only part of a sentence. Okay, go ahead.
I have Ephesians
5:19. Oh, okay. Who's got Colossians 3? Okay.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord.
Okay, now I'm going to ask everybody, what's the difference between teaching and admonishing? Admonishing is correcting. Okay, what about teaching?
Teaching is explaining, maybe?
Okay, that's involved with it. I'm looking for a word that starts with I-N-F.
Instruction.
That's a unique way. You know, Samuel Clemens said that he didn't have much respect for a person that could spell a word only one way. So, okay. So, see, what we're saying, who has the verse in Ephesians?
I'm going to start in 18 because that's where the...
Good.
And do not get drunk with wine, for that is a debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. Go through 20. Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Okay, so you say giving thanks would be part of singing. Okay, are you? And again, I want you to answer this, not audibly, but I want you to answer it in your mind. Are you
cautious about what kind of words you listen to in singing. Do you evaluate? Hopefully, the songs that we're having here at camp and what you have at your church or assembly has been examined to be sure. But are you careful? Because the story down here, Arius, this priest, he was teaching doctrine, false doctrine, and it was spreading so fast because it was by song. Right at the moment, there's not too many advertisements that are sung. But every once in a while, you come across, and all the companies have songs that they're advertising. You remember some? I'm not going to ask you to sing them, but you know, it's a very, very powerful way of communicating. So be very careful. I'm serious about this. If you start listening repeatedly to songs that are teaching wrong doctrine, you're pretty soon going to just subconsciously start to accept that. And you can be led astray. You can be led away from God. So I'm serious. Be very careful about what you sing or what you listen to. Okay? Yes?
And Charles Wesley was very good with that in that he wrote a lot of hymns, but there's a lot of doctrine in his hymns so that the people would learn their doctrine through the hymns.
You'll find out that most of the older hymns, at least those that survived, are very heavy in doctrine. Now, I know that the current music is quite different, but please go back and look at some of these old hymns, even if you don't like the music. In fact, if you're musically inclined, maybe you can come up with a tune that's more in tune with 21st century. But as you say, Fred, that is so important. Some of the hymns that we sing are just loaded with doctrine. Now, some of it's in Old English, and you might say, I don't even know what that's talking about. Well, then ask somebody, because these hymns did not just appear in the book. People spent many, many hours over each single one making sure, from the same reason Constantine said, that these songs are so powerful that he wanted to be sure that people were taught the right doctrine. Oh, okay, let's go back now. What page 3 we skipped? Okay, I see a real significance to Paul's inclusion in the presence of many witnesses. Open your Bible to 2 Timothy chapter 2 and somebody read that whole verse. It's not a real short one, but 2 Timothy 2, who's got it? Okay, would you please read it? 2 Timothy 2, 2. Okay, now the only point I'm picking out of that verse is that Paul says, what I taught among many witnesses. Okay, and I put in the comment there, how do people act when they want you to believe a lie or leave your friends and follow them? Do they come out and stand on a tree stump and start, say, hey, come on, forget those other guys? How do they approach you? Singly, hey, let's go over here and I want to talk to you about, don't leave, don't stay, don't listen to John Lyman anymore, okay? so what's the significance of Paul's speaking in the presence of many witnesses? Were you going to say, add something? Okay.
Oh, I was going to add that they would come to you as a friend.
To what?
They would come to you pretending to be a friend.
Okay. So what about this matter that Paul spoke in front of many witnesses? What would be the implication that he's trying to get across there?
That he's not ashamed of what he's speaking, that he knows he's speaking the truth because he's not afraid to have everybody hear it.
So if you hear something, John Lyman tells you something you haven't heard before, what are you going to do?
Look it up.
Or? Ask somebody else? Okay. So we want to be sure. You're not going to go to heaven on the basis of what John Lyman believes. You're going to go to heaven or hell on the basis of what you believe. Okay. So your eternal destiny, this is not a little game that we're playing here. Your eternal destiny is, not only that, but let's back up. The way your life is. What's your life going to be like in 5, 10 years? Are you going to have some job that boy, I sure wish I never got this job, but I have to hang on to it because I got to pay for my house payment and my car payment. Or are you going to get stuck with marrying somebody that says, well, yeah, I'll go to church with you, and then you get married, and they say, well, that was enough of that. Let's go out and have some fun in life. I mean, these are things you got to be sure that what the person is giving you is honest and it's real and it's not just something to try to persuade you, whether they're trying to sell you a vacuum cleaner or a washing machine or whatever it is. Be sure that the person giving you advice knows what they're talking about and check it out. Because, Paul, as you said so very, very clearly, what Paul was saying, he knew was right, and he didn't care who heard it. Because if they heard and they come to write or refute it, he could say, well, where'd you get your information? How do you know this? Don't be afraid to ask people. Do it politely, but don't be afraid. Okay, let's go on there. What value do you place on the teaching you receive from godly people? You know, are you taking notes of what we're talking about in here? You take notes for a couple of reasons. One is that you remember. Two is you can go ask somebody else. John Lyman said this, is this really true? And, you know, sometimes you write down something and you find out, well, John Lyman never did say that. But you want to be sure. I'm serious about this. There are deceivers out there. There are people that are deceived and they're telling you something they thought was true but isn't. Then there are other people that are out there and they're going to try to get you to follow them because they want a following. And they are purposely being deceived. They are purposely seeking to deceive you. Okay? Do you take notes? Okay, we already said that. When you hear something that sounds valuable, do you tell it to somebody else? You know, I was at camp last week and we heard, did you ever hear that before? So, you know, you can tell people if you've enjoyed it. And when you do that, it's going to stick in your mind more. I remember more what I say than what I hear. And you will too. So when you start talking about these things, it'll help to stick in your mind. And again, these are not things that, okay, so I spent an hour every day listening to John Lyman. But we want you to, number one, have an enjoyable life. Now, Satan says, if you want to have a good time, you got to disobey God. Remember when he said that to Adam and Eve? Well, it was those exact words. But Satan wants you to be turned away to his way. Okay? Are you going to teach your friends and your children about the Lord Jesus? Is it so exciting? How many of you have went on vacation this year before you came to camp? How many of you told somebody about that vacation? Why? Okay, do you see the awesomeness of what God has in his word, that he has a better way of life for you, a way of life where you don't have the regrets from yesterday? Okay? Okay, who's got something on the last one of the page? The objective of a soldier. Who has something they want to contribute on that? Okay, number one, to fight, saws on that one.
I just thought you were talking about what is the objective of any soldier for any military position.
Yeah. What is the objective of a soldier? Okay, what else? What does it say in Scripture?
To endure hardness.
Okay, what does that mean, to endure hardness?
To go through it without succumbing to it.
Okay, that would be one way. Give me another illustration of the matter of having to endure hardness.
Being patient in your trials.
Patient in your trials? Okay. I'm looking at it from a different angle. You're looking at it, both of you are looking at it from the results. I'm looking more, what does it mean to endure hardness? Maybe I should reword the question, and that is, how does a person endure hardness, or what kind of hardness?
Well, I think of like a duck during rain or something. The rain just hits their back and just rolls off it.
Okay.
They're just enduring that without, I don't know, that's just something that came to my mind.
Okay, that would be, in other words, the duck is equipped for what it's going to face. Okay, and you can be equipped for what you're going to face by
reading the Bible and putting on the armor of God.
Okay.
Also, laying aside anything that's going to be getting in your way and looking to the goal that you're fighting for.
Okay, I think I referenced Hebrews 12:1 on that. Would you read that?
Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Okay, what's the difference between weight and sin? I'd like to spend some time on this, because this is a very, very important concept. What's the difference, okay? Yeah.
It would be, a weight could be anything that isn't necessarily glorifying to God, but isn't necessarily sinful in and of itself.
Okay, let's get some more comments.
Or anything that holds you back from doing what you should be doing.
Give me an example.
Let's see.
Okay, somebody, okay. Okay, serving others, or reading your Bible. You know, reading your Bible is a real good answer to a lot of questions. So it's not wrong, but I like to get a little more of the application. So this matter of serving others.
Is it kind of talking about the weights that easily beset us? Is it talking maybe about bad habits, since it's things that easily beset us and our bad habits are something that we just easily do?
Give me an example.
I don't know, like playing too much video games or something. It's just maybe like a habit that you might have or something, or watching too much TV. It's just a habit. You just go and you flip on a TV show or something.
Well,
something that would easily beset you.
I think that's an excellent, but that is so close to sin. I'd like to see some example of something that's further away from sin. What you said is very, very good and true.
Your job, especially at our age, concentrated right now on finding our first jobs, and it is a great temptation after you have your job to spend as much time at the job, and then other areas of your life might suffer. Spending time with family, like you said, reading your Bible and serving Christ, and just all the different areas serving in the church that you should be doing. But you decided to take that time to do something that in and of itself is not sinful, but is actually necessary, and doing too much of it.
Very good. Something that may be necessary, but doing too much of it. Okay? Some other things that your age group might be involved with.
A lot of times it's school.
School? Give me an example. I won't accept read our Bibles. That's been said too many times.
Or do the things we know we need to do.
Come on, help her.
Pray.
Huh?
Pray.
Pray, okay. That's pretty close to reading your Bible, but those are very valuable, but I'm trying to get it down to the practical level. Just
work around the house.
Like?
Just stuff you need to get done and then...
Huh?
Like leaky pipes.
Repairing a pipe, okay. Okay.
Cleaning.
Wait, what'd you say?
I didn't say anything.
Cleaning? Okay. Washing dishes? Mom, I can't wash the dishes tonight. I got to get schoolwork done. Yeah, but what were you doing 3 hours ago? Oh, I wouldn't ever say that. Okay, so what we're talking about here, I was with a group, and they told me that when you get done discussing, you go back and reread the section that you've been talking about and see how it fits together. So let's go back and reread again. Who started let's see, there were a couple added, a couple people came in, but you started? Okay, let's go the other way this time. And would you start reading where you started with 2 Timothy 1:12, and we're going to read through 2:13. And as you're reading it, try to think of some of the things we've talked about this morning. Okay? Let's see, what time is lunch? One more hour?
7 minutes.
Huh?
You have 7 minutes.
7 minutes? Okay. Go ahead.
Okay. For which cause I also suffered these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom...
Catch the surface. There's a tremendous amount more of information in this chapter than we've touched here. But what Paul is telling Timothy, I want you to do what's right. I want you to think of the consequences, whether it's singing or whether you know, as a soldier, you're going to have to endure some hard things. You're not always going to have a soft chair to sit on. Sometimes the room is going to be too hot. Sometimes you're going to go without food. How many of you have read the article about Nathan Bramson, how they were jumped by this car? And they were in their car and jumped on it. Somebody threw a burning tire under the car, and they were squashed in. And finally, they tooted enough, the taxi behind them backed up, and they were able to get away. But you heard it? Okay. But the point is, I don't know what 50 years from now is going to hold for you. I don't know. Maybe the Lord will come before we finish lunch today. But I don't know. Are you going to be prepared? You know, you keep telling me.
Read your Bible.
Read your Bible and and pray. But, you know, are we going to put these things into practice so that when times come and people, you know, you tell your friend, your neighbor something about, I was in a Bible camp last week and they laugh out loud at you. You know, what are you going to say? These are things that you may face, okay? Are you going to say, oh, I won't tell anybody again that I was at a Bible camp? Or are you going to say, you know, I really learned something there. I learned that times are going to be hard. I learned that some people are going to laugh at me. How could you say that to somebody that just laughed at you? Pretty hard, but, you know, you have to get convinced of what you're claiming to believe. Let's close in a word of prayer. Oh, our God, our Father, we ask for help, that we might have a hunger to live for you, that we might see what a great God you are, what great things you have done for us, and that we might have the eyesight and the conviction to want to do that which is pleasing to you. We ask this, that our light might shine for others. It is in the name of the Lord Jesus we pray. Amen. Thank you very much. Did you like doing this today, or would you rather a straight lecture?